to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. If you would like to respond to anything we are discussing this morning, joining us now from somewhere, I think on Interstate 2059 between Birmingham and Tuscaloosa, our friend, former State Senator Rusty Glover, candidate for state auditor. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be here with you.
Hey, thanks for making time. We do appreciate it. Before we get into the serious business of the day, well, but this is serious as well, but how is the campaign going?
Oh, it's going well. Tomorrow night I'll be at one of the county Republican meetings, and the next night is county Republican meeting. I was planning on going up to Winston County to theirs, because I'm going to land in Jasper tonight, and it's only about 20 minutes away, but I looked on the internet, saw it, one of my opponents is one of the featured guests, and it's kind of like you don't really just go busting in on somebody else's big moment. So I think I'll go back to Winston another month. We have forums where we're all together, and sometimes, but usually if you're the guest speaker, you know, the opponents usually kind of shy away from those nights.
Are you going to the Shelby County meeting on Tuesday night?
No, I will be speaking at the Fayette County Republican meeting. Yeah.
Well, I little birdie told me that Tim James is giving a speech.
Oh, I see.
So that ought to be interesting. Anyway, enough of that. Let's first off this tragedy with Henry Suggs and what had happened there. Former Alabama player. You have an effort. You've been participating, I guess, in this program for a while, but it's really a program designed to prevent these sort of tragedies like what we saw last week.
Exactly. It's called Underage Under Arrest. It's where ABC, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, the local district attorneys, and ALEA, whether that be FBI officers or state troopers, we go into the schools, junior highs or high schools, and it's a program, about 45 to 50 minute program on choices. We talk a lot about alcohol, but we also talk about cell phones, texting and driving, and what goes on at some of these parties, you know, that can come back to haunt them in future years when they're trying to get scholarships. People look at their social media, you know, just making good choices. We go over a lot of statistics, like a third of eighth graders have already tried alcohol. 80% of seniors have already tried alcohol. Well over half the college population have admitted drinking alcohol on a regular basis, and most of them are under 21 there at the college campuses. A startling statistic shows that 95% of the assault crimes on college campuses are alcohol related. And this is what happened this past week with Henry Ruggs. Who knows how many tragedies like this, or potential tragedies, we hope that we're able to avert by, you know, giving this information to kids. You know, I talk about some of the tragedies that happened when I was in high school. And when I taught school, some of my students, what happened to some of them when they made very poor choices. I even towards the end of the program, I go to some of the celebrities like the Hank Williams and his problems with alcohol. And I do a little story about the difference between the success of Hank Aaron and the success of Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle was an alcohol addict that really shortened his career, where Hank Aaron was pretty much rewarded by living a long life and breaking Babe Ruth's record. And of course, the other folks like John Bonham, the great drummer, you know, ended his career with, you know, drinking alcohol. And Princess Diana's driver, and then of course Rob Bramblett, the guy that ran into the back of his vehicle, killing him and his wife after smoking marijuana. And we talk about some of these tragedies, hoping that these kids will not take the same path.
Yeah, and it's just I think there was a lot going on there with what had happened with Ruggs, but I guess you gotta, if you can start early on before, you know, these guys, they go on and they get fame and fortune, and you know that has an impact on it. But maybe if you could start out at an earlier age to kind of expose people to the dangers or the situations, then you could really make a difference.
Right, and we talk about, you know, they see these kids are exposed to television commercials that shows folks at the beach or at family gatherings and ball games. You know, they never show someone on the alley passed out or someone in a car bleeding from an accident or someone whose face is all bruised and cut up because their spouse beat them up. And we just try to show them that side of it, and hopefully, you know, try to get through to them that, you know, the message they're hearing from their friends is, we're going to give them a different message than that, and hopefully it'll sink in and try to avoid these, you know, tragedies that happen, like with Henry Rowe.
We're joined by former State Senator Rusty Glover, running for State Auditor right now. Hey, Senator, I guess you were watching what had happened in the special session last week. We'll start it here, the redistricting, which was the stated purpose of the said special session. Any surprises there, or what did you make of the final product?
Well, I think you know, there's some folks upset. I know a lot of the Democrats are upset, but what's happened is a lot of their constituents have moved into the other districts, and the districts have to have the same amount of people in each one of them, and you have situations where I think Senator Figures, some of her district went into Spanish Fork, and these things, you know, by law, they have to have the equal number of people in them. And a lot of times people don't understand. And, of course, the congressional mapping is triggered a lawsuit from what I've heard. And we knew that was going to happen. But I think the biggest cheerleader for the current maps is Representative Sewell. She doesn't want her map changed because it gives her an advantage to win that seat. And any other changes to try to attempt to have two majority minority districts is going to it could possibly lose both of them. I mean, it's very possible that they would not have any representation. So I think she's probably the biggest cheerleader for the current district maps, but of course she's not going to, you know, be beating the drum for that or anything. She's going to stay quiet, but deep down she doesn't want them changed because she knows she's in a very secure district, and it's been gerrymandered really to help her out. I mean, she has a big say so, and even though it's majority Republican controlled legislature, she has a say so in trying to get those district lines fixed to give her a better chance.
Yeah, and you know, that's never discussed, but at best, I think they create two swing districts. And the question is, you know, do you really want could Alabama Democrats, if they had to defend two congressional districts, are they even able to right now, just given the disarray of the Democratic infrastructure in this state?
Yes, I see what you're saying. I think that if there were two swing districts and it looked like it was going to be close as far as the majority, who's in the majority in the U.S. Congress, which we know that it will be, you would have a lot of outside money coming in, like we saw with the Doug Jones race in 17. It would be almost like the state Democratic Party would be kind of in the way as far as the success because of the disarray that they're in. But I think that the hundreds of millions of dollars that will be pouring into the state, even for House races, would be there to try to swing those for two Democrat seats. But it's going to be, you know, people talk about and complain about the gerrymandering, the wiggly lines. To get two Democrat majority seats, it would be the most confounded looking map that you ever saw. I mean, it would be beyond ridiculous to see little neighborhoods carved off and a little line drive down, you know, 200 miles to the next neighborhood, and then another line drawn to the next neighborhood that's, you know, 200 miles away. I mean, it would just be completely ridiculous to put something like that together. And I think they understand that. It's just they feel like that they need to challenge it.
Well, and I mean, it looks like an octopus.
It would.
There's almost like there is this industry that exists just to sue all these new maps or redistricting. Like, that's what they do. That's how they justify their existence. And therefore, that's the approach they're always going to take. But in the end, I don't know. Maybe a neighborhood or two here. I don't know with federal court if they're going to be able to get much out of this, because I don't know what the legal argument would be.
I don't either. But we never thought, when the Obama administration, when their attorney general gave us the green light for the last district line that we put together in 2010 or 2011, we never really thought that they would have much success in challenging those. And lo and behold, we went back to special session to redo the lines because of the successful lawsuit that the Democrats put on, even after Eric Holder had given the blessing for the district line. So you never count them out. You never can tell with some of these federal courts how they're going to rule, but I wouldn't be as very completely secure that these district lines are going to hold up after what we saw 7 or 8 years ago.
What do you think the legislative map, particularly now Vivian figures, is in the Baldwin County delegation? That has a lot of people exercised, if you will.
Well, I think they feel like that her district is still majority minority district, that those living in those areas feel like they would have very little chance to win that seat, someone living in that area. And I can understand the frustration to live in an area and know that you or your neighbors have very little chance, if any, maybe slim to none chance of winning an election. So I can understand that. The district lines for the House seat moved me into Representative Sam Jones' district. I'm currently living in Sam Jones' district. I've heard that the district lines that were passed the other day have made the change and reverted it back. But it's very little chance that a Republican can win that seat. And when you're used to living in an area where you feel like it's just a matter of winning a primary, and then you're in a district where you would have to win a general election when the odds are against you, I know it's extremely frustrating for a lot of people who are now in that district.
Let's hit the vaccine mandate business. Special session, 2/3 majority overcome to override the governor's call, and here we now we now have some legislative buy-in to the to what the Biden vaccine mandate, the opposition there. What's your impression of that? It seemed certainly unprecedented, but they responded accordingly. The legislature did, that is.
They responded. I was not surprised at all to hear House or Senate members or office staff people talking about the massive amount of calls that they received demanding that something be done about the mandate. And a lot of times when we were in session, you'd get 300 or 400 faxes and emails, and a lot of them said the same thing. It was just one person that wrote them, and some of the people that were supposedly sending them didn't even know they were happening. These were absolutely generated by the anger of people, individuals that came out in the mass and complained. And so the legislators knew that these were real people. This was not something that was conjured up by some group or whatnot. It was individual people who were very upset about the prospect of them not being able to support their families because of the mandates. And so they responded. Of course, I saw on the news programs that there are some in Baldwin County. They're at a meeting, they were upset that it didn't go far enough. And I think that I've read some other people that are upset. I haven't read the bills that were passed yet, so I can't really make a opinion on that. But I can understand the frustration that people have. I know, several people that were on the chopping block as far as their jobs and I can understand their frustration.
Well, we'll get you out of here on this, though. What do you think of this argument about these bills are putting restrictions on companies or what they can and can't do as far as this vaccine mandate? That's not conservative. The conservatives shouldn't be thinking in these terms. Then it becomes, do you side with the individual or do you side with the company? And we shouldn't do either. We should just let the market play it out. My argument is that that's libertarian. That's not conservative. But what do you think of that?
I completely side with the workers who are, you know, in this situation, you know, many of which, you know, Dr. Stutz had some really great comments earlier. I was able to listen to some of that on my way up. And especially when you're talking about the kids, his arguments about the kids, those who had the sickness, who are not really eligible, and they've been told not to take the vaccine at this point because they just had they have the immunities, and to force them to do this is just, you know, is outrageous. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous, and I think it's you know, the folks I was hearing from are very, very conservative people, and I don't see it just as a knee jerk reaction to a problem that they have. I think that they understand that this is an individual liberty thing and I see that as a very conservative movement to the anti mandate.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but you've been very kind to make accommodations. I know you're on the road. It can be very hectic on the campaign trail. But thanks for coming on.
I got a program this morning in Northport, one in Jasper tomorrow, and one in Huntsville the next day. So I'm staying busy in the morning and do a little campaigning at night.
Well, we'll check it again soon. Okay. Hopefully that goes well. Former state senator Rusty Glover on the line there, running for state auditor. Y'all go check him out. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret.